Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Dr. Daniel Israel. He's a general practitioner at Dr. Israel and Associates at Bloomberg Medical Center in Burnham. And today we're chatting about the all-important rollout to the 18 to 35s. And now that they have been allowed to finally get their vaccinations, is this going to discourage this vaccine hesitancy that we've been seeing? And will we see an increase in the vaccine drive? Dr. Israel, welcome to Chai FM.
Thanks for having me, Chad.
Doctor, incredible news about it being opened sooner than we anticipated for the 18 to 35s. And I think the figures speak for themselves. There seem to have been a marked increase in the number of vaccinations taking place. Give us a breakdown on what this means and whether or not we can anticipate seeing a growth in the vaccine drive, not just in this age group, but across the board.
So the important thing with herd immunity or population immunity is getting enough, as we all know, enough people vaccinated. And the truth is that with the age hamperings that we've had, it's been very difficult to get anywhere near those targets. So I think that in terms of the vaccination drive going forward in general, just having young people on board is going to make a big difference, because I always tell patients and people that it's like the analogy is a felt fire, and you want to be able to have breaks in the grass so that the fire doesn't spread further. And we need more and more breaks in the community where people are vaccinated. But I think we're still going to have issues is that I don't think that people who have got formulated opinions and fears around COVID are going to be very encouraged by young people doing vaccines and not being affected by them, because they always have this like thought in their mind that I'm a little older and I have medical problems and therefore I shouldn't have the vaccine. And so I mean, listen, no one knows and we'll all see, but I do think that we're still going to be dealing with a big amount of unfortunate hesitancy.
How do we deal with this hesitancy? We've all got access to social media, and we see news that gets populated that is sometimes outright fake. What message do we give one another? How do you make somebody, and you as a medical professional, when somebody comes to you and they're hesitant, what kind of advice do you give them, and what guidance should we be giving those around us regarding the vaccine?
So I think that the very important part to discourage hesitancy is the understanding of what COVID is and its complications, because there's a misnomer out there that if you're young and healthy, you can't get affected. We see people affected all the time. I mean, in our practice alone, we've seen one or two young and healthy people, unfortunately, demise from COVID over this time. And I think that's so the first point is to make people not as a scare tactic, but just to understand that they're not immune from the negative effects of COVID themselves just because they're young and healthy. But I think that what's also important is that, look, I've spoken a lot about social responsibility and the need to vaccinate for other people, but I don't know whether our society, even in our wonderful community, works with such altruism. What I do think is important is to make people understand, is to listen to the real concerns that the hesitant people have. So I was speaking to someone last week who was explaining to me that they were concerned about myocardial infarction, which is heart attacks in people who, and myocarditis in people, young people that had vaccines. And when you show them that the data does not support those fears, then they feel more reassured. So I think to be less dismissive and possibly actually hear the concerns, it might be something that we need to do more as doctors and then try and allay the fear.
I think what needs to be messaged as well to those out there, and I'm one of those that tends to be letting my guard down ever so slightly now that I've had both doses of Pfizer, is the fact that the vaccine is not a silver bullet. There's still the risk that's associated with getting COVID. It just means that there's a lesser risk of being hospitalized or passing away from this. What do we need to remember? Because we've got all these people that are very excited and most probably planning ahead for the December holidays, especially between that 18 and 35 group. What must people remember once they've had their vaccinations?
So probably that the vaccine doesn't work straight away. We must remember that. In other words, we know that, for example, on the Pfizer side, one needs a 2-week period after the second vaccine to get a good immunity. And the truth is that the reduction in risk from the from having a full vaccination has been estimated at probably about 50% of getting COVID as a whole. So one does still have to keep one's guard up. It is still possible to get it and transmit it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't vaccinate, because as you rightly said, the chances are less and the occurrence of serious disease is also much less. But it is important to still take those measures. What I thought would be interesting was to just tell you something that I read out of Israeli media today, is that this is of people who've had three doses of Pfizer, which maybe our country, who knows, will eventually get to. Only 0.01%. Well, let me put it this way. 2,790 people got COVID after having three doses in Israel. Of those roughly 3,000 people, only 0.01%, so that's 187, were having hospitalized, and only 88% of them got serious symptoms, and 15 had died. So, I mean, you can answer that and say, wow, well, 15 people died and they still have three vaccines, but that's 15 out of 3,000 who got COVID, who are only a small percentage of the whole population. So it really does work.
I saw a similar statistic coming out of one of the American states, and it was a statistic of approximately 107,000 people that had been hospitalized for COVID over a period of time. And the study showed that of that figure that's in the hundreds of thousands, it was three figures, 107 or 105 people that had actually been vaccinated, had been hospitalized. And their statistics were over 99, comma, whatever percent of people being hospitalized that hadn't been vaccinated. So it's kind of clear out there that the vaccinations do work up until the point.
Absolutely. And that's the point, is that we're not going to find as you said, a silver bullet that works for everything or all eventualities. But the more people who are vaccinated with these great vaccines that we have, whatever the make, whatever the brand, the less chance of our community going through another wave and the less chance of morbidity and mortality. So I think we've just got to keep telling people this message and encourage them to speak to their doctors with any real concerns that they have about the vaccine so that they can be addressed and not feel that they're just dismissed.
Doc, we're looking at the our population increase in respect to vaccination. I think we're now sitting at 12% with the 18 to 35s now coming online. Do we want to see a lot more vaccinated before perhaps the rollout of a third vaccination? Do you think South Africa will follow the route of Israel and introduce a third dose of Pfizer?
So I'm not involved in the, obviously on the political side, but the one thing started from some of the academics in Israel is that they didn't wait long enough between doses, and that's why there's been such a waning of immunity there. I think that South Africa fortuitously learned from that experience, maybe if it wasn't purposefully, and there has been a longer time between doses. So I think that the need is less pressing here. We certainly saw in the Sisonke trial that people who had only had one dose of J&J still had great immunity. So I think the need is less, but I do envisage, just from what my experience so far, that we will probably need booster doses in general, you know, even perhaps yearly, or we will see at what interval. But I think that definitely the priority is to get a greater percentage of the population vaccinated, because at 12%, we are way off from a point of getting a population immunity.
Dr. Daniel Israel, as always, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Jeff.